It's great to be here on such a beautiful day. It really is. And to reflect the beautiful springtime, those of you who've heard my talks before, I love to start with a little meditation. Because I think, even if it's a Sunday, even if it's a slower day, traditionally, some of us might have slept in, some of us might have had breakfast with mom and dad or the kids or just had a chill morning with some coffee. I still think that it's always nice to really center ourselves and have some time to just breathe and open ourselves to divinity. And so in honor of that, I was thinking yesterday, I was just like, let me just do one of my absolute favorite meditations. And when you learn, I'm certified in hypnosis. And so when you study hypnosis, they often, and even when you're doing like basic therapy, they often say like, choose a safe space, choose a beautiful space that you always go back to. And so today I'm going to share with you all my beautiful space. So I invite you, if you are in a safe space, to do so. If you're not driving, if you're not chopping up fruit or something for breakfast, close your eyes and take a deep breath, starting with one breath in, one, two, three, out. One, two, three, four, five, six. In, out. And you can start to feel that your heart rate has already started to calm down. Your body is just taking an exhale. You feel your muscles loosen, relax. And this is all at your own speed, your own level. So if today you just feel like you don't want to fully let go, that's fine. Your body knows itself. Your body knows what's good to release. Your body knows what level you need right now. So just let it unfold as it knows, as it's in divine mind, like Holmes talks about. And I invite you to join me for my special space, which is a field of wildflowers. And I often describe my perfect day as 70 degrees. Low humidity, clear blue skies, maybe with some puffy white clouds. And you don't need a jacket. You're not sweating. It is the perfect temperature. And I'm in this field of wildflowers. And if you want to, you can join me and be in the field too. And it's filled with whatever flowers you want it to be filled with. For me, it's just such a variety. It's daisies, it's iris, it's poppies, it's buttercups, it's all kinds of different colors. But you might be like my mom, whose favorite flower is black-eyed Susan. So maybe you're just surrounded by black-eyed Susans, or roses or wild roses. But whatever flower you want is there. And in this space, there's no such thing as allergies. So you can just breathe in the sweet, beautiful scent. So refreshing. No candle, no Febreze plug-in could ever capture this pure beauty, this pure scent, fresh and sweet and pure springtime. And the earth is the perfect temperature and the perfect texture to just lay back. And you feel the earth against your skin. And I've read from so many experts on health and holistic health and energy that it's so important for us to connect and actually touch earth on our bare skin, our feet, our hands, our palms, our backs, because the earth neutralizes. Any stress that we've been carrying through the week, it neutralizes it. I've done this before and I've had headaches go away almost instantaneously. I've had anxiety and shaking go away just by digging my feet into the earth. And so I invite you to just gently wiggle your feet and toes in the earth in this wildflower field. Take palmfuls of it if you want. Feel how nutritious and beautiful it is, how it's filled with everything flowers and trees and birds and animals need, everything that we need too. Feel it against your spine. Feel all your energy centers align and awaken and open, stretch and feel the beauty of the earth. And I just lay here and I invite you to lay here too and just soak in this beauty. And one of my other favorite things to add is, if you like them, some butterflies or dragonflies floating around and about and picking up pollen, keeping the earth beautiful and spreading natural pollinator pollen and things that are good for the earth and the gardens, the ground. And one of my favorite animals is one of the most beautiful creatures, I think, is a fawn, a baby deer. So I often say sometimes I see a baby deer in this field just walking by curiously, maybe taking a snack or two, enjoying some wildflowers. That would be quite good, I think. Maybe it lays down next to you for a little bit. This is your beautiful space. And what beautiful, innocent creatures. What beauty. What grace. What gentleness. And I love to watch the color of butterfly wings as they go through the sunshine, how at a different angle. Sometimes the blue is iridescent and it just takes your breath away. Or a monarch butterfly that's they do their migrations, right? So you see their beautiful shock red orange, just stunning. Or sometimes you see the delicate little white butterflies that literally just look like wildflowers taking flight. And then there's so much that could be said about the beauty of a dragonfly. Every time I see one, I'm literally taking my breath away. Emerald and turquoise. Oh my gosh. The speed at which their wings go. Wow, what a beautiful space this is. How perfect is this? How perfect that divine mind that the Most High gave us all this beauty. We're just soaking it in. And I invite us to just sit in silence for maybe 1 or 2 minutes, maybe, to just enjoy. Silence, if you'd like, a breeze in the trees and the flowers, the buzz of a dragonfly or the flutter of a butterfly, whatever you'd like. I love bumblebees, so I'm going to imagine some cute little bumblebees buzzing around, fluffy and cute. Just sit for a bit, soak in the energy, breathe. We'll do this for maybe a minute. Just let ourselves sit, breathe. Now I invite you to just take a deep breath in. In for three, out for six. Wiggle your toes and fingers because we're coming back to this current physical plane. But remember that if you ever, ever, ever want to go back to that wildflower meadow, you can always access it. It's never not there. It's always there. And so I invite you to just kind of wiggle your body because we're coming back into the physical moment and plane on this timeline. Wiggle, 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 back and forth. Fluidity. Remember, we got all that beautiful energy, so let's get it moving through us. Some toes wiggling. You can rub your toes if you want. Rub your hands. One of my favorite things I've done is I have a little mini bike that I put near my office chair, and I pedal, and so I just get energy moving throughout the day. So just wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Okay. Now open your eyes and I invite you to join me back here. And I'm glad we had that moment of meditation because this is a thick chapter. Let's talk about how this was. I had to read this two times fully through. And then the last half I read like 2.5 times. And I normally don't have to. Normally I can like digest a chapter and it's fairly simple. But this one was like, okay. And like last night I went out for dinner with my parents and I was like, oh, I have my talk tomorrow. And like, they don't fully get this. They don't totally get new thought, religious science. They don't quite the divine science of mind. They don't totally get it, but they're supportive. They're like, yeah, cool. And they're like, what's it about? And I was like, well, time. And they're like, hmm. And it's so, you know, and it's just, it's a dense chapter. But it starts out with, you know, Holmes was being interviewed by a friend and, she just asked him to talk about, she was going to write a column about, how to pray. Right. And so prayer is such a simple and yet deep, deep thing. And it reminds me of when you look at, there's a beach in Maine where the tide comes in and you look at it and you don't realize just how beautifully deep it is. The water is so still and beautiful and navy blue, that deep Atlantic blue, North Atlantic. And you look at it and you just think of the depths beneath it. And I think that's what prayer is like. It's like, it's so simple talking to God, to divinity. I've been listening to a gentleman who calls it, the most high, as it's sometimes referred to in the, I believe the Old Testament, the Jewish holy books, the most high, just talking to the most high. And yet I feel like a lot of us are taught incorrectly and it's a process to relearn. And, as we relearn, it's some stuff that there's beautiful depths to it and levels to it. And so Holmes says, you know, the first thing you really have to realize is that there is no separation. And I was like thinking about this and I was like, God, I feel like every time I do a talk, I'm always talking about how there's no separation, no separation, no separation. But then I realized pretty much almost all of us went through years of Sunday school, I can't think of the word for when Catholics go through learning about the saints and like the prayers. And we've had years and years and years of indoctrination and repetitive ideas of how to pray one way. And so of course we need the repetition of how to pray the new way. We just have to get that in our heads too. Like we learned the alphabet, like we learned how to count. We just have to keep getting these concepts. And so yes, a reminder again, there's no separation. There is one mind. Holmes says, what does Jesus say? I am the Father and the Father is me. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is no separation. It's here and it's now. He says, you know, there's no difference if you're on a beach or if you're on a busy train I just saw someone on YouTube talking about traveling on the trains in Tokyo and how packed they are. But there's no difference if you're on a beach lounging or if you're in a busy train in Tokyo. God is always there. The Most High is always there. There's only one mind and one way, and Jesus says that. The kingdom of heaven is here at hand. It's here and now. And he says, that's the first thing you have to realize is that there's one. And then he says, yes, there's this one divinity. There's the Most High. There's God. But the way we access God is through ourselves. He says, he uses a term, and he says, a phrase. He says, you can never, I don't know if he says escape, but he says you can never get away from yourself, right? So we are always within ourselves. So he says, this is how we access God is where it's all one mind, but the way we're kind of plugging into it is through ourselves, right? And so he talks about then we have to realize that we have to change some of our beliefs when we're praying. We have to pray and we have to believe, you know, the famous Matthew scripture. One of my mom's favorite necklaces ever is just a round piece with a mustard seed in it. And it's just, you know, if ye has faith the size of a mustard seed, it shall be done and mountains will be moved and it will be done unto you, right? So we have to take those words of Jesus into account. We have to think through ourselves. We have to realize step one, all is one. Step two, we connect with God where we're expressions of God through ourselves in our own minds. And then we have to believe. And he uses it later in the text, but I just love, he says, it's so darn simple. Like, how simple are those explanations? Like, if you were to read those directions, you'd be like, psh, yeah. But because we've been so inundated with, he talks about it later, materialism, right? Like materialist science. And we've just been inundated with these concepts of the race mind of lack. Joseph Murphy calls it the race mind of lack, of struggle, of pain, and things not working out, and God not answering prayers. Or if you grew up in a similar religion, such as myself, you're not good enough for God to answer your prayer, or you've done something wrong. And so God's not going to answer your prayer until you pray for forgiveness. So, you know, we need that repetition and belief of, you need to get it in your head and you need to say it over and over again throughout the day. Dr. Joseph Murphy says often, I tell people, if you need to say it 70 times, 100 times an hour, do it. Remind yourself, God is all, God is one. I access God through me. Believe it, I'll receive it. And then Holmes talks about how God is pure love. God is pure harmony. And this is a point where, like, he mentions it also toward the end. And this is very, when I say deep, I'm talking like, again, I had to read this twice, right? 2.5 times. Yes, God is love. God is beauty. God is everything, perfection. But at that same time, since God encompasses all, and as humans on this 3D timeline, we do experience pain, we do experience frustration, we do experience grief and hard times. And as Abraham says, it's so that we know the contrast, right? So you know, God at the same time that the Most High is beauty and harmony and love and light, God also encompasses the other side, that dualism that Holmes talks about. So dualism exists. It's one of the hermetic laws of the universe. There's left, there's right, there's yin, there's yang, there's hot, there's cold. God is all of that experience, right? But Holmes is saying, so, okay, if there's dualism that we perceive, but it's all of God, then there's not really dualism. That's so strange. It's so weird to think about. But if it's all one mind, one God, one thing, then there's really no separation. And Holmes says, what you have to do now is you have to tune in to the side of God that you want. You have to affirm toward what you want. And again, that seems so simple, but you know, if you're raised, I just remember seeing in all the churches and all the Christian stores that I went into growing up, it was always someone on their knees, like sobbing and begging God for something. And of course, yes, the Most High is divine, divinity is always there for you in your hardest, saddest moments. I can say I've been in some of my darkest moments and it's been there, yes. But we don't have to go to God just begging and hoping that he'll answer or it will answer. It always will. So change the way you pray and that you start affirming and focusing on the side of God that you want in your life, right? So instead of maybe focusing on my God, like last week I had a dreadful tummy flu and so stomach flu. And like, instead of focusing on the agony of it and the frustration of it, I mean, I was, frankly, I was like delirious and stuff, but I focused on like how my mom had come to help me and my dad had come to help me. And like, that was such a blessing. So, you switch your focus, on, you're not praying for, you know, at some point when my grandpa was really sick, it became evident that he was done with his physical journey here. And you stop praying for healing and you start praying for what's best for his soul and his spirit on this journey. So you see what I'm saying? You kind of switch your frame of mind. You're not coming to God begging for release from the pain or you know, you're desperate to have a check be, you know, mailed or a bill be paid. You're coming at it from, there's all abundance, there's all beauty. And I'm going to focus on that side of God. I'm going to affirm that. I'm going to focus and lift up that beauty that maybe I wasn't taught how to do, but I'm going to start doing it now. And again, like Dr. Joseph Murphy says, if you have to do that 70, 100 times an hour, remind yourself that God is good, God is harmony, God is abundance. If you have to do that and raise that up and just say that to yourself 100 times an hour, do that. Because Dr. Joseph Murphy says eventually through spiritual osmosis, it will sink into your brain. And it will sink into your brain enough that you really start to believe it. And I was reading this chapter and I was reminded of one of my favorite Dr. Joseph Murphy stories. And he said he once worked with a woman who was, he was Irish through and through, like his first language was Gaelic. And so he worked with an Irish woman once. And he said, you know, she was a widow. She had four kids and she had $5. And he didn't treat her. She came to him and told him the story, right? So she said, I had $5 and I had four kids. And she said she sat down in a chair in a quiet bedroom and she held this $5 in her hand and she just prayed. I mean, I'm tearing up thinking about it. Like you're a widow. You have no one. You have four kids who are hungry. Like you could be very scared. You could be very lost and feeling very nervous. And she chose to sit in a room and hold $5 in her hand and give thanks for that. And she just said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She said, when she would get nervous, she would just say to herself, it's going to be okay. Do this for 15 to 20 minutes. And she said, all right, I have to go buy some food, whatever I can get. She said she went out to the market and she was buying food. And this one really, he was like a vendor seller. And he looked at her and he said, I could use some help. Would you like a job? And he became her husband and she got a job and she worked there that same day where she went out with $5 and said, I have to just get what I can get. This guy just looked at her and said, I could, you know, I think he said he saw her with the kids and he said, do you need a job? Because I could use some help. And they ended up getting married and falling in love. And that just gets me, man. Like, she chose to focus and shift and focus on the abundance of God and the love and the thanks and the gratitude. And she could have been very scared. And it also reminds me of a story. My parents went to Russia in the 90s. So this was shortly after, you know, the USSR fell. It was 99, so like 8 years. But they went to the black market. And I'm going to cry about this too. Lordy, it's that kind of day. And this, my mom brought back the Marushka dolls, the dolls, the nesting dolls. And she said she bought them from an old woman who was 80, had to have been 80 something, and her hands were just mangled with arthritis, but she hand painted these dolls. And the woman asked like for the equivalent of like 50 cents. And my mom said, I cannot pay this woman 50 cents for these beautiful things. So she handed her $50, and the woman started crying. And the translator said, that'll feed her family for a month. And then my mom also bought her some oranges, and she started crying. And so I just think, like, oranges were like such a gift. And that $50 would feed her family for a month. And if you think of that as like, $50, what? I mean, you could go out and get a big fancy dinner here and some cocktails. And just the concept of the mind shifting of like that level of gratitude and that level of beauty to have oranges and $50. And then that woman praying over $5 and going out and getting someone asking if she needed a job. Just knowing that if it's $50 or it's oranges, there's an abundance and beauty of God in all of it. And we just have to change our focus, change our minds, change toward the beauty of God and the abundance of God, and focus on that and say that 70, 100 times an hour. Stay prayed up, like Dr. Joseph Murphy says. Say it 70 times an hour. Say it 100 times an hour. Take 15 minutes a day, morning, noon, and night. Say it. Stay prayed up. Stay focused on the beauty of God so that you don't get pulled into the race mind. And so then that's the column that Holmes was featured in about prayer. So then he talked about, it was like the column was brought up during a talk, and he starts talking about time. And I've used this example before. Dr. Joseph Murphy uses it too. If you hold a seed, or if you hold the root of a peony plant, the beauty and the magnificence of an oak tree, or all these petals and that beautiful yellow inside, is in the root. It's in the seed. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is at hand. He didn't say you're waiting for it. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And I've also mentioned that Einstein, I'm not going to get into his theory of relativity, because, like, frankly, I don't even fully understand it, and I'm not a physicist. But what I've heard is he basically was saying, and I've said it before, that like every possible moment that could ever happen and has ever happened is continually happening again and again and again, because time is like relative and there are multiple different universes. So it could have been like yesterday I was driving and I turned right. Well, there's a universe where I turned left, and like that whole path is happening somewhere else. So Einstein, and I want to say that Einstein was one of the people who said, you know, he was Jewish, and he had to leave his home and his whole life when the Nazis took power. And he could have been bitter and he could have been angry. And he was a scientist. He was brilliant, right? And so he could have been a materialist, and he could have said, well, there's nothing but science and facts. But you know what he said? He said, I have, at the end of his life, someone asked him about God, and he said, I have studied this and this universe, and we are far too vast and beautiful to not have a creator. And so when he was making these theories about the universe and time and everything existing at every possible moment, he was aware of God. He was aware of divinity. And so if you take that concept and you take what Holmes and Dr. Murphy are saying, it's like, if you look at the acorn, the whole tree is in there. The magnificence of the Empire State Building or the Freedom Tower in New York City, all that same power is within a peanut on the table. I loved that. But the interesting thing is that we as humans on this 3D plane have, for some reason, chosen time and to perceive time. and that things require, Holmes uses the term evolution, cause and effect. And it was interesting because I was talking with my parents about this, and my mom is very philosophical, and she was like, well, I think it's just because, you know, evolutionarily, we had our circadian rhythms and we had to work with the day and when we were hunting and when we were gathering. And that makes sense. Like, it makes sense why our brains evolved to perceive time, right? But our souls and our spirit and our one mind don't perceive time. And Holmes says, the Alpha and the Omega. What does Jesus say? I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end at the same exact time. And it's a real mind bender, but we have to realize that which we ask for is already created. And Holmes says, when we tune into it, we help it along. And then he says, it's so darn simple. You know, we live in a world that has time. Like, I'll be honest with you. These peonies are probably only going to last like maybe another day. But that's just physically. The way these make me feel, the smell, that's going to stay. It's my favorite time of year for multiple reasons, because it's peony season is one of them. And so Holmes says, you must realize that everything is happening all at once, all potential, all results, the Alpha and the Omega are all one. It's what we tune into is what we help along. And that goes back to what he was saying about prayer. What we tune into, if we tune into harmony, if we tune into money. And then he has an interesting discussion about how I feel bad about praying for money. Well, pray for money. You know, pray for money. And who's to say that woman who blessed the $5, she didn't get handed $100. She got handed a job. You know, they asked for money and Jesus said, go fish over there and you'll get plenty of fish to sell in the market. You know, who are we to say, oh my God, we're praying for materialist things. This is so bad. No. The universe and God and the Most High is everything all at once and can give us money. I'm listening to Infinite Power, Your Infinite Right to Be Rich by Dr. Joseph Murphy. And so in one instance, a father was praying for abundance and he got a winning lottery ticket. And then in another instance, a young girl was literally digging in her garden and brought up a whole thing of Civil War coins and was able to sell them and go to college. Like, you know, another gentleman, he said he knew, was a geologist and he was praying for guidance. And geologists before him hadn't been able to find anything on this land. And then the next day he wakes up and strikes minerals, right? So who are we to say, oh, praying for money is bad? Because we don't know how God's going to show up. We don't know how God's going to manifest it. All we know is that God is pure abundance. And pray for money. Holmes says, pray for money. Pray for health. Just do it. And you don't know how it's going to manifest. But remember that it's Alpha and Omega. It all already exists. Tune into it and you'll start helping it along. Again, we access God through ourselves. We are 3D creatures, but our world around us, and quantum physics is proving this again and again, is energy. So what you focus on, what you give energy to, is what you help along. Okay. And then there's one more point I wanted to see. Hang on. One moment. Oh, then he kind of bounces around some topics here. He does address something that I really struggled with for a while was speaking to atheists and agnostics and dealing with that in myself, because I had a lot of bitterness for a really long time toward religion. And he says, you don't have to try and prove anything, because that's just going to oftentimes, in my experience as well, it tends to just bring up strife, you know, and you don't have to prove anything. And he said, we're just believing the same thing. Materialists and scientists, they believe that these peonies came from a root and that they grew. So they believe in an infinite intelligence, right? What they don't believe in is a consciousness. And we don't have to prove that to them. We don't have to try and convince them of that. I think that's something that everyone goes on their own personal journey with. And I think I've shared this before. I dated a guy who was, staunch atheist. And at one point he was like, we were talking about it. And he said something like, when people get into car wrecks, They thank God that they lived. Well, why don't you thank the engineers who built that car? And it's like, yeah, you could do both, because God acted through those engineers with the brilliance of thought and the design and the road engineers. And you realize that there's an infinite intelligence and consciousness in everything that responds to you when you put energy toward it. And when you're putting energy towards something, what you have to start realizing is that strange concept of no time existing, and Alpha and Omega, the kingdom of God is at hand here and now. You know, Jesus was, in my opinion, Yeshua was, and you know, there's some people say that Yeshua didn't exist. There's Roman historians who document that he did. I believe that he was a true example of God. I believe that he was pure, a spot of pure divinity. And he says, you know, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the thought, pray like me, you can be like me, you will do more than me. And Jesus made water into wine right away. He didn't like make the grapes. Ernest Holmes says that it happened right away, because he knew he was at that level of divinity, that he just knew, I could have this happen right away. I could heal a blind man. I could do this. And he says, you will do greater works than I if you learn this and you take this in. So just try to practice that realization that what you're doing is you're giving energy to something, and it's becoming molded and it's becoming physical, but it already exists up there. There's really no time. And that's a very strange concept for us. But again, like Dr. Joseph Murphy says, remind yourself 70 times an hour, 100 times an hour, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here and now. And there was one other quick thing I wanted to touch on. I'm trying to remember. He talks about the materialism and how we all genuinely believe in an intelligence and a consciousness, just manifests differently for some people. And then he talks about treating for smog in LA, right? And so he's like, God is clarity. God is a beautiful, clear atmosphere. But, you know, sometimes we have to go to the source and neutralize it. So you realize you have a bad belief. So you start to pray for the opposite. You start to focus on and give energy toward and draw down the opposite, the beauty of God, the clarity, a beautiful mountain stream. I encourage you all to study, definitely look into, if you have the capacity for it, read up on Einstein's theories. Fascinating, the concept, time is just doesn't exist. Read up on some quantum experiments that have been done about, I forgot where I was reading it, but they talk about how the brain fires and how people were said to, you know, imagine lifting weights and they actually gained muscle. They didn't even do it, but they just imagined it. And how, you know, Dr. Joseph Murphy has some stories about how, you know, people just start affirming health and like almost immediately it happens. And so I encourage you all to just sort of investigate this concept of time and start maybe thinking about it a little bit differently, because we might be here in the 3D right now, but our souls and our spirits and our energy certainly are not, and are certainly not bound to time. And the other thing that I remembered I wanted to mention is that nothing ever manifests exactly the same. I can guarantee you if a scientist, a plant biologist looked at these, he or she'd find all the differences between it and a snowflake. No snowflake's the same. So you might be thinking, oh, I already treated for that. I don't know if it'll treat or happen again. And Holmes says, again, the Alpha and the Omega, all at once, all beauty, all potentiality already exists, and nothing's going to come in the same mold. There's this beautiful potential, and just remember that it's here and now. And all you have to do is shift your focus toward it and dragging it down and giving your energy toward it, and it'll manifest in your 3D. Maybe not how you're expecting, maybe not with a winning lottery ticket, but it'll manifest and it'll come to you. And just remember that it's already all there. And Jesus said, you can do this. You can do more than this. You're completely capable. And God's kingdom is here and now. And you can partake in it anytime you want. And I hope that all made sense to some extent. It's a very dense chapter. And thank you all.